Welcome to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac, a show about how to break through obstacles that may be holding you back in life or business. And now your host of Breakthrough Thinking, certified master practitioner in neuro-linguistic programming, business consultant, and CPA, Dave Isaac.
Live from the 1010 Studios in Phoenix, Arizona, you are listening to Breakthrough Thinking. Hi, everyone. Welcome to the show. I'm Dave Isaac, the host of Breakthrough Thinking. And I am so excited. One of my favorites of all time is in the studio every month. She's here. Mind your own business. Barbara Haggerty. Barbara, how are you?
Pretty good. You say that to all the girls, don't you?
No, only you.
I'm the only one.
Look at you. Look great today. Tom, come on. Right? This is a nice outfit you have.
I look great every day. This is my working clothes.
But especially amazing today. I'm thinking of closing down the show.
It's Christmas.
And what is this sound
please
here?
Please turn off cell phones while we're on the air.
Can you believe it?
What is this all about?
Oh, I got to take this call. Do you mind? No, I'm kidding.
Okay, step outside.
I'm kidding.
Tom, we'll take over.
No, this is a great outfit you have on. Right, Tom?
Thank you.
Look at him. He's really panting right now.
One of my working suits. He's panting?
I'm kidding. Are you? Yeah, he is. All right, so how are you? I haven't seen you. You were away last month.
I was in Barbados, and where were you? I had a terrific show lined up, Tom, and he's not.
So you have
you're
to go
MIA.
I know. You're going to have to go back to Barbados and do it again.
I absolutely will.
Well, really? You like that place,
Yeah,
huh?
I will go back.
Where's that place anyway?
Where's Barbados? Okay, now we're in a geography. This is Mind Your Own Business.
Oh, that's
Barbara
right.
Barbara Haggerty, but we're going to do a geography lesson first.
Yes.
Barbados is the most southern island in the Caribbean, or the Caribbean, you would
really?
Say.
Really? It's by Cuba?
You understand it as by Cuba, okay.
Pirates of the Caribbean,
okay,
that's how I hear it.
Let's stick to accounting for you.
Accounting.
Yeah.
Not NLP? Come on,
accounting
NLP.
And NLP.
Yes. All right, NLP.
And auditing, not geography.
I like geography.
You're better to stay at home.
Oh, yeah. Okay, should I leave?
We can't send you traveling.
I know.
You'll get lost.
I have to go to Barbados. So the warm weather and all that stuff.
Go on my Facebook. You'll see the great pictures I have.
Oh, really?
You're on
the
Facebook,
break. I'm going to look
didn't
at that.
See it.
Are we friends on Facebook?
Yes, we are.
Wow, did you know that, Tom? Am I friends with you on Facebook?
Did you know that?
Oh.
Who looks after your Facebook page?
I just hired
you
someone
you
to do that.
You don't do it personally?
No, we just have a new person that's going to do it.
That's terrible.
A new show coming up, Social Universe.
And you use Facebook for business. It's a social network and site that you use for business.
Yeah.
So let's ask you about how you mind your business on Facebook. You don't even know I'm a friend of yours.
I didn't know that.
And I'm your favorite host.
Yes. The hostess with the mostess, right?
And Merry Christmas to you, too.
Yeah, have a happy holiday. And wow, so it's holiday time now.
It's holiday time.
Has it been busy? You've been busy,
yeah.
I bet. But
I'm always
good.
Busy.
Yeah, you are.
I love being. I'm a busy person.
It's true. She is focused, busy. She does a lot of stuff. And then she has time for this great radio show, Mind Your Own Business. It's like bring your own bottle, mind your own business.
And what does it mean, mind your own business?
It means, and I'll tell you, I know this
Let's
for
sure.
Let's
see if you've learned anything.
Exactly. Mind your own business is two meanings. One is when I ask someone out on a date, they go, mind your own business. And two, when it comes to business, it means work on your business.
Minding it. Look after your own business.
Exactly. So pay attention, in other words, because there's so many ways to improve a business. And that's what this show is about. You're going from sort of the processed procedural part, and I integrate the neuro-linguistic programming, the mindset part. Together, it's a powerful combination. That is a lovely shirt.
Thank you. And Tom referees between us.
Yes.
Because without the implementation.
Yeah. And that's incredible.
All the process planning and strategizing means nothing. People are screaming around me.
Well, is that gym again,
Tom? It's a fan club.
If it keeps going, maybe tell the manager again. Mm-hmm. That's craziness, right?
No, it's okay. Just ignore it. You can focus.
No, we had like a half hour screaming, though. Yeah. And then I started screaming. Anyway, I agree with you.
I'll try and refrain from screaming.
So this is a good time. It's before the New Year's. This could be a New Year's resolution for business.
Yeah, it's the end of the year. Close up your year. Take a look at it. Don't worry too much. That might be a conflict with your CPA, however, be reasonable.
Yeah, yeah.
And just close up and then take a look at next year. You know, really and truly, how are you managing your business? Do you manage your business enough so you can have a holiday? Or here you call it a vacation.
Yeah.
What is it to you, holiday or vacation?
Vacation.
You take a vacation to give yourself
anytime
a holiday.
Anytime there's a vacation, it's a holiday
you
for
You give
me.
Your mind a holiday.
Yeah. I give my mind a holiday all the time.
Take your mind away from it.
Yes. Tom, how about you?
Well, later on we'll talk about NLP because when you think about it, you activate it.
Yeah, absolutely.
That's for the second half of the show.
And this is exciting because I think people really need to pay attention to what you're going to tell them and start the new year with new behaviors, new disciplines, new implementation. If not, guess what happens? It's going to be the same old year as last year.
We'll keep repeating ourselves.
Yeah. Not good, right?
So you, if you keep doing what you do, you keep getting what you have.
Exactly, and
already.
That's no fun.
It might be.
Well,
somebody
depends.
Out there might be feeling perfect about their business.
Yeah, that's true.
So
I don't know.
So let's run
many.
A wellness check on it.
I do know a company that does very well.
Let's run a wellness check on your business and see if you really are doing as well or
that's a great idea.
If you could do more.
And
maybe
you have
stretch.
Wellness checks.
Mm-hmm. Stretch out of your comfort
How
zone.
How do they get that from you?
How do they get
do you
it
have
from
an email?
Me? They can contact me via the show.
Yeah.
Which is 602-296-3632 or
that's right.
Email me via the show and just
and what's your email?
Forward the emails on to me.
What's your email address?
My email address is my name, BarbaraHaggerty@yahoo.com.
And how do you spell Haggerty for people?
How do you spell Haggerty?
For people.
How do you
don't
say
know.
Haggerty?
Haggerty.
Barbara is BARBARA. Haggerty is HEGGARTY.
Exactly.
@yahoo.com.
Nice. Okay, so definitely do that because, hey, you get them a wellness check.
But you have an email address for the show as well. You can go on the site and just click through and.
That's right. You could go to breakradioshow.com and actually watch it live right now and see if I'm kidding when I say, wow, Barbara has a great outfit on. Really? They could see. Look, I could see you in the TV right now. And
okay.
I could see you here.
Enough
I'm embarrassing
that.
Her. Okay.
I know. He's flirting with me again.
Am I Tom? Oh, I am? Okay. So go ahead. So where were we?
We
were talking about mind your own business. So you're going to give some tips today?
We're going to start talking about how you actually mind the business. Do you manage your business or does the business manage you? That's a question for everyone.
You know, that's a great point. I'll tell you. Should I give you a 10-second
sure,
story?
Sure, let's talk because I am going to test you because we've been working together a long time.
A long time. Well over a year, right?
So we can see what we know.
Well, here's what. Let me give you this.
I did study a little NLP, so you can test me.
Oh,
later.
You're doing nice. Look at that. Well, you know, when I formed the CPA firm back in 1985 in Century City, that's near, that's really the Los Angeles area, we started quick from scratch. Zero clients, zero employees, fourth quarter 1985. Wow, this sounds like a commentary.
Mm-hmm.
In 4 years, we grew to close to well over 600 clients, 30 staff members, mainly CPAs, and fast growth. But at that point, Barbara, and this is where you can comment on it, is that when I started, I felt I owned the firm. But at that level of growth, 4 years later, I felt the firm owned me. That was not good.
So it was managing your time.
Yeah. And it's like, how high is up?
Yeah.
So you
create a monster and it takes over.
Yeah. And that's what happened. And this firm split up and then we sort of divided it in half. Like, who was that? King Solomon? Yeah.
Split it. Well, here's this is what I want to break it down to is how is your business managing you? Because if it is, why are you in business?
Yeah, because it doesn't feel good,
versus a job.
Yeah.
Versus not having to take it home with you. Now, and I'm talking to managers as well as owners, because you're, as an owner, speaking to you as an owner, your managers are your highest asset. And I want to talk about the balance sheet, too, today. But that's one of, I believe that's one of your biggest assets. Your managers. So
that,
you got to that level in your business, your managers at that point, if you have managers, I believe they were your highest asset.
Yeah, we did have managers. We had three or four, I think, at that point.
So if you don't have, so you look to your management team. And that leads us into the micromanagement.
Yeah.
Because if you're not trusting, there's a lots of... I actually looked up a couple of dictionaries, and you can pull it up online if you want. But
yeah.
The definition of micromanagement is what? Come on. You're good at this.
I would say someone that's just...
What is that just came up? Is this somebody we have on the air?
That's Jess Spurgeon, who's he's the wallpaper on this computer
He's a wallpaper man.
So without looking it up, I'm going to say micromanaging is when someone really looks at all the details and really gets lost, I would say, in the details, especially a big company. There should be an entrepreneur type with vision, and the managers maybe have to get into the detail and make sure
they don't necessarily have to be an entrepreneur type to own a business, because I think that's kind of stereotyping it.
That's a good point.
It's kind of categorizing it. Because there's a lot of owners out there that have a terrific idea.
Yeah.
And without the implementation, it doesn't go anywhere.
You know, that's a very good point.
It has to be. The implementation, to me, is the highest priority.
It's like execution.
If we're not implementing a strategy, what use is it? Think about it from a common sense, logical point of view, or the NLP side, I'm sure. You can write a strategy all day long.
But
right.
you can
write processes all day long. We can design process, but if we don't implement it, it's just a book.
That's
it's
right.
It's just sitting here like this. It's a book. Anybody can read it and understand it in theory, but can you? What's the expression where the rubber hits the road?
Yeah, that's right. And can you act on
can
it?
You
can
act
you get
on
in
it?
That
can
action?
You implement it?
Now, Tony Robbins does say something interesting. He says one of the keys, just like you're saying, is massive action.
Yeah,
he uses the word massive action.
Yeah, action all the time. Here's what the dictionary, I think it's Webster's. Where did I put it? I think it's Webster's dictionary defines micromanagement as, quote unquote, management, especially with excessive control or attention to details, usually negative.
Oh, interesting. Excessive
and now,
control.
That doesn't mean it's a whole negative thing in your business. It's just it's usually negative. And they're usually irritated when an assistant makes decisions without consulting them. So think about the whole concept behind that statement. That are you a micromanager? Are you irritated when a manager would make a decision without consulting you?
Well, back in my other firm, no, because I didn't want to make those decisions. I was out getting clients.
So you focused on sales.
Sales and consulting. I was doing a lot of outside business consulting, and I thought that that was my role. Now the question is, you have to have a strong management team. Everyone has to perform at a way that's going to be, at excellence or above, or else it's going to be an issue.
Well, that's true. Now, if we focus on the internal and external go hand in hand, but there's issues with. I may not be a micromanager, but I may be forced into that. Because why? I don't trust.
That could be.
The information. If a manager gives me a reason to mistrust, then do I trust the information? So now I have to get more involved in the details. Then it becomes a habit, which we're going to get into later on. It becomes a habit.
I like that.
That I'm micromanaging.
Yeah.
It's going to kill the spirit. Micromanagement is, especially in sales, micromanagement is the key element that will kill the motivation.
Interesting.
And I know that's a strong word, but that's the negative side.
So I'll tell you what. Why don't we take a break, and when we come back, I want to hear
more.
You can
admire my shirt.
I like that shirt. That's a nice shirt.
This is a Gaelic sign.
What is it called?
It's an Irish.
Oh, really? I like it.
Simple.
Like an Irish pub or something, right?
That's an Irish person.
Let's go to an Irish pub right
now.
Let's
go to an Irish pub and have an Irish whiskey.
Oh, I've never had an Irish whiskey.
You've never had a Bailey's?
I've had a hot toddy.
Have you ever?
What's a hot toddy? Oh, that's whiskey and tea.
That's a hot whiskey.
And we'll be right back.
A hot toddy is not whiskey and tea.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Mind Your Own Business every third Tuesday. Is it Tuesday today?
This is Tuesday.
And we have Barbara Haggerty in-house. And if you want to write to her, email her at BarbaraHaggerty@yahoo.com.
And it's good to see Tom back. I've missed Tom. He hasn't been here for a couple of months.
Yeah, what's going on, Tom?
Yeah.
Tommy.
He wasn't here last
Can
month
we call you Tommy?
I called.
All right. Is your last name Gunn? All right. Tommy
His last
Gunn.
Name is Gunn?
No, Tommy Gunn. Okay.
Tommy Gunn.
Now, we left out, I thought a hot toddy was whiskey and
hot toddy
tea.
Is whiskey and water and a little bit of sugar in it.
Well, I thought it was like when you're sick, you get a hot toddy,
and
whiskey, tea, and lemon and honey.
Oh, maybe in America you do that.
Oh, what do you do?
Whiskey and water.
Whiskey and water.
And a little bit of sugar.
Is that good?
Hot, yeah.
And you asked me to ask you about rum.
I did.
Rum?
I asked you to ask me about that.
So tell us about rum.
Rum. I don't know. I drank rum punch in Barbados.
Was it good?
Beautiful. Beautiful. Yeah.
I like pina coladas.
Pina coladas? Well, you can get it. That's boring.
Margaritas. Oh, that's boring? How about tequila sunrise?
Like, yeah. Can we talk about alcohol here?
No.
Oh. We can.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Tom's,
I forgot.
Tom's not looking at, he's ignoring us.
Oh, he's beeping us out. Okay. So micromanaging. We're talking about micromanaging. And it says
Tom is micromanaging us right now.
Yeah, he is, and he's threatening to beep us
out
of existence.
He is micromanaging us. So we asked for an example, and he did it.
Yeah, that's it.
So thanks, Tom.
But I liked what you said. It kills the spirit, especially in sales.
It absolutely kills it. We shouldn't single out sales. We should take any department in your business because each person needs to, you know, we go through the hiring process. So you hire people based on their experience to manage or run that department because you don't want to, but you want to know what's going on. You want to know what's being managed at the highest level. So you hire your excellence in that area.
Yeah.
Now, if you go through your hiring process, and we've discussed this, I'm kind of recapping on our whole year here that we've discussed. So we've talked in detail about the hiring process itself. So if you go through your hiring process or procedure, you know, everybody I think by now knows that I believe there should be a process for everything.
Totally.
A step-by-step process for every single thing, anything at all that you mention in your business. And I'll challenge anybody to call me and tell me if there's an area in their business that they don't believe they need a process for.
And you can call right now, 602-296-3632.
Let me know.
Yeah.
I'll throw that challenge out there. I also challenged everybody this year to have a drama-free business.
You did. I like that show. That was
a
good one because that happens everywhere.
Yeah.
Drama-free. Especially during holidays with families.
And how do we get drama-free? We have a process for everything, and we implement it.
That makes sense.
And we walk it. Implementation gets rid of drama.
Because they know what they're responsible for.
Everybody knows their
job. Which is really important.
And then we don't need to micromanage. We don't need to get in there. So if I'm micromanaging you, and Tom gave us an example.
Yeah.
You're completely out of control now, right?
Oh, I feel good right now.
No, what happened when he was bleeping?
Oh, yeah, he sent the
you
signal.
You had to gain control of yourself to talk about micromanaging instead of my T-shirt and hot toddies.
Yeah. Well, okay. Yes.
You see, you're out of control now.
Yeah, I don't know what to say, but I have a good movie going on.
You know, we're even now. I owed you that.
That was good. Well, I'll tell you, if people micromanage, I agree. I think in the past where I've, prior to owning my own business, I've experienced that. I think a lot of people have.
Well,
and you feel suffocated, right?
I've seen clients do it. There's a lack of respect there. How does, you know, maybe you can take it personally, but we stay with business here. But there's a lack of respect.
Yeah.
It shows a lack of respect because the language is saying, I don't really trust you to do your job, so I'm going to look over your shoulder. You will not be able to breathe.
Yeah.
I'll constantly interrupt you. I'll disrupt what your plan is. Now, you may do a job. I may do a job. You mentioned activity-based costing.
Yes.
So just pick a line item. Pick one item.
Okay, one item on the P&L?
No. One item on your P&L.
How about let's pick administration.
Okay, administration. So we have a process for answering the phone. We have a process for taking in a new client, right? A new customer call. So now we're going to start the beginning process for a new customer. That's the process itself.
Yeah.
Now, and you hire me to do that job, you have a completely different personality from I have. We may be compatible and we can communicate. And we can understand each other. But I may not handle it, the process exactly. You know, my language might be different.
Right.
But if you're breathing down my neck, what do I become? I become a robot of you.
And it will distract you, I believe.
And it'll give my respect level's going to go down.
So
the trust is not there. So if I know you don't trust me, do I have an interest in my job? My productivity goes down. This is all the negative side of micromanaging.
So why do people micromanage, in your opinion?
Because they don't trust. That's
so,
one.
So
they
that's
don't trust.
Yeah.
There may be a challenge with communication, which we'll talk about in the second half because NLP mm-hmm. will help that.
Yes.
So there's a challenge with clearly a process will do this. A process map will clearly define what needs to be done. It's a step-by-step.
And that helps with people not having to micromanage if there's a process,
yeah,
is what
that's
you're saying.
Communication. And it's how, you know, if we're going to do business together, we need to be clear and understand what the business is.
Yeah.
What do you hire me to do? What type of consulting do I want you to do for me or my client?
I totally agree. And
so there's communication, trust, time. Allow the other person time to get something done. Just because I want something done doesn't mean, okay, you're going to just take care of it right now. We need to free up some time. And because that's going to free up a lot of time for you.
There's no doubt.
All you golfers out there who love to live in Arizona and golf, why not be on the golf course and give your managers time to do their work?
I also think maybe fear is an element of micromanaging, fear and...
Well, I think that's the trust, isn't it?
That's probably very similar.
Isn't that part of the trust? So the key words I have are trust, time, and communication. If you can implement trust and good communication between, which is partly your process, and free up time for yourself and for that other person, then you can... what do we call it in NLP? Reframe that habit of micromanagement?
Well, reframe
or
it.
Or not reframe it. Anchor it.
Well, we could anchor a different state of mind. But I think it goes a long way when you can show people a different way of doing things. And a lot of it's not knowing how within business.
So let's say there's a micromanagement.
Yeah.
A micromanager and we have, let's see. There's lack of recognition.
Yeah.
Your employee may feel that you don't recognize that person because you're so busy managing what they're doing with their time. What about like pressure to perform, the performance pressure? That's a lot of work for a person. That's a lot of pressure to put on a person. Now that may be, maybe that's an external reason for micromanaging. Maybe there's financial pressures on you, and so then you react by micromanaging your employees.
I would agree. I think that's a big
one. Does that
one.
Make sense?
It does. That sort of relates to when I mentioned fear. I think people, especially in today's economy, where things may not be going as well for a lot of businesses, they feel that it gives them almost a sense of control by micromanaging, but it's not helpful, though.
No, it's definitely. It's not helpful because it's devaluing. Devaluing your employees.
Yep.
And so your production level's going to drop down. What about your customer service? How does that person feel who's dealing with your customer?
Yeah.
Have you been a customer in your own business? There's another one.
Which is a really good topic. I like that because I think if you take a different perspective on your own business by being a customer, you might be shocked at what you find.
Mm-hmm.
You're probably wondering, how could any customers ever be part of this business?
Or you may be wondering, I had no idea that Mary handled people like that. She's wonderful. But you've so busy micromanaging her, you've never called in and been a customer.
So what do you think the solution is? And we could elaborate it. We got a few minutes till the break. But I'm thinking, you know, how do we get people out of their bad habits of micromanaging? That's a tough one, isn't it?
I think first it's a mindset. I think it's first I think the first step is, this is my personal opinion on all of this based on my own experience.
Yeah.
I believe that first we understand it.
Yep.
And then we set an intention.
Makes sense.
To change it. And we can change it instantly if we set the intention. I believe that 100% we can change. If we set an intention to change a behavior, change how we do something, make a commitment, set a goal, we can change instantly. What happens after we decide? Are you familiar with the Sedona method?
Oh yes.
Okay, the clearing method.
Yes.
Now, what is it? Help me remember that because
wanting control or wanting approval.
Well, but it's the clearing method is, let's say you're a micromanager. Okay,
yes.
So do you want to do? I'll do the clearing method for you. So
okay.
Do you want to stop being a micromanager?
Yes, I'm not. But yes. I'm going to play the role. Oh. The role played by me is...
I know, but this is a yes or no answer now.
Okay, yes.
This is yes or no.
Yes.
He's going to try to justify himself here.
Yes,
you're
yes.
You're not micromanaging yourself on that mic right now?
Oh, I guess I am.
No, I don't, but... Okay.
Yes.
So, you want to change? Are you willing to change?
Yes.
And what's the other one for the Sedona method? Are you willing to change? And this one I should have written
down. Do you want approval or
no.
You want control?
No, they just say when. When?
Now.
Right now. Okay, so that's all you need, like 3 or 4 steps. And then the rest after that is just a reminder.
You know, I agree. Even in NLP, and we'll get into that in about a half hour, is Tony Robbins, Milton Erickson, who's a great psychiatrist, others involved in that arena, they often would not take a client unless they absolutely were convinced they are ready and willing, committed to change. That's really important to want to change. How badly do people out there want to change for the New Year's? If you want it bad enough, you will change it. And when we come back from our break, we'll continue our discussion with Barbara Haggerty, Mind Your Own Business. We're talking about micromanaging and make sure you change. If you don't like your results, change it.
That's right.
Change you. It's not the external circumstances that control your life. It's your interpretation, how you react to it. We'll be right back.
Weidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Hynten & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Mind Your Own Business, starring Barbara Haggerty. Barbara, we've been talking about micromanaging and really the need to change starting in 2012. Do not let another year go by with the same habits that don't work. That's what I'm going to point out right now. Am I right?
That's right. And we're going to do you can use a clearing method, the clearing process from the Sedona method. And if you want to, I'll write it out and just email it to people if they want it.
Well, that's not a bad idea.
And that's
Barbara Haggerty at yahoo.com.
I'll tell them where they can buy the book. And it's really good. It's really short. It's really fast. And it's a decision. Everything's a choice and a decision we make. You know, if I want to spend time with you, I make a choice to spend time with you.
Yep.
And I make a decision when I'll spend time with you. And then I implement it. It's the same in business. So anything that is a question in your business, I personally try to boil it right down to very, very simple. That's how we walk it. That's how we implement it. That's what I do. I've specialized for years in implementation.
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that. I like that. You know, if you look at it, the results of people's lives are an accumulation of every decision they either made or didn't make.
That's right. It's all about choice.
And what type of choice do people have? Well, if they don't have high skill sets, then their choice is limited. If they have locked-in behaviors and habits, there's no choice. It's sort of automatic. It's like an addiction. So the mantra, I should say, for 2012 is get out there, increase your flexibility and your choice so you can have better decisions.
You can share this water if you would like.
Wow, I'm looking at that. Oh, Tom raises eyebrows on that one.
He thinks it's awesome.
Tom, you can get involved too.
It's Christmas.
Right after the show. All right,
okay,
Friday
you know,
night.
We're skipping right over. Are you going to keep me on here for a while? Because I'm running
yes.
out of time for the balance sheet and everything
else.
Oh, let's
do the balance sheet.
No, I just wanted to, that's where.
You're going to be on till 4 o'clock. Are you kidding?
Oh, really?
4 o'clock, yes.
I get to stay?
Yes, you do. Oh, you didn't think you were going to stay?
I wasn't sure.
We're having a personal conversation here.
Yeah.
Yes, you are.
Our communication hasn't been very clear.
Yeah,
no,
but we
I'm
got
just
a good
kidding.
Process.
That's all right. Here,
I have
a couple of things just to say about your balance sheet, because people panic at the end of the year because they pay attention to the P&L, the profit and loss, or the income statement.
Right.
Often, because you know sales and expenses are driving the business. So then the balance sheet becomes this big thing.
Right.
At the year end, and you've seen this, I've seen this.
Uh-huh.
So the balance sheet, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yes.
But assets are what you own.
Yes.
Liabilities are what you owe.
Yes.
Okay. And equity is what you've put in there.
Well, equity is the obvious, you know, the difference of what, on a liquidation, what you're going to take away.
Right.
And so
it, but to make it really simple, because people often will ask me, what did my CPA mean when he said that?
Oh, and they don't even
know.
So
what I do is, well, you don't know that. When you're talking as a CPA to a client,
yeah,
how do you know they fully understand what you say?
Because of my NLP background, I'm looking very carefully. I go, do you understand this?
What if they, he's really got an ego today.
Oh, I have an ego.
Wow.
No, I saw a bald eagle the other day, really. I did. Right, Tom? It's up for extinction. Is that the right word? Okay. No, I'll watch
just
people.
Controlling
and
the situation.
The truth
again.
Is a lot of, it's interesting that you bring that up.
If you bring it right down to very simple, what is an asset? It's your bank account.
Yeah, accounts receivable.
Because you own money, you have money coming in, that's your receivables.
Deposits.
Yeah, there's
prepaid expenses.
So anytime you have a question, especially now it's a year end in January and February, people are coming in to doing year ends, just take a deep breath, relax, and don't stress about it, because we can boil it down to really simple language. It doesn't have to be the CPA language, with all due respect.
True. Yes.
With all due respect to my present company and all you CPAs out there that do wonderful work, I don't even want to go there, but it doesn't have to be your language, really.
I agree. I think as long as it's understandable, and I think that's your point,
we
the client has to understand.
Yeah, we don't operate day to day in that language.
Yeah, and I agree. But it's interesting. The balance sheet is a great tool, though, for management decisions.
Absolutely.
And really, you can plan around the balance sheet. A lot of people just plan around the P&L, but really, how much cash do you want? Reserves do you want? You know, how do you manage your accounts receivable? Stuff that you do in terms of processes.
That's why I tied it in with this micromanagement.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Really, if you really must micromanage your balance sheet. If you must micromanage something.
I would agree.
Just to, if you have to go through a 12-step program to stop micromanaging, then micromanage your balance sheet.
Yeah, well,
is that fair?
Well, it is fair because cash is everything, and that's where your cash shows.
So micromanage that.
Yeah.
If you must. But leave your employees to do their job, but
I gotcha.
Check on it.
Yeah.
Make sure the processes are being followed. Have proper reporting models to yourself, and micromanage your balance sheet. And the rest, I believe, and based on my experience, that works.
That makes sense.
And listen to, the forgotten skill is what?
The forgotten skill is listening.
That's right.
How did I know that?
Because I told you.
No, but
many
I...
Many times.
But yes, it's true. Tom, I'm a great listener, aren't I?
Yeah, listening is a forgotten skill.
Oh, he wants money now. Okay. Las Vegas. So
he's going to Vegas?
Oh, yeah, for the right price. So that's a private joke, but... yeah, we might do some remotes in Las Vegas.
I know it's a private joke.
You
want to
go do the remotes in Las Vegas?
I don't want to go to Vegas with you. I know too much about Vegas and you.
Yeah, but it stays in Vegas. What happens in Vegas, right, Tom? No, really, I heard that thing, that advertisement.
You always have a different expression and different language when you come back from Vegas.
That's right, I do.
Yes, you do.
Yeah,
every time you come back,
she's
from
quite
there,
correct. You know, yeah. That's true.
My NLP background allows me to.
Yeah, you're doing nicely on that.
Yeah, I do.
I'm going to compliment you on
and
that.
I'm studying really well.
That is very good. And let me ask you this,
mm-hmm.
because I think people want to know: what do you tell people when they go, "I don't know where to begin"? You know, people might be good at what they are in business for, but they're not good at business. That's mind your own business. They don't know it. How do you set processes? How do you know what you don't know? Maybe that's why they should be calling you, because you know a lot about
what they don't know. Where I start, you said, where do I begin?
Yeah.
So first I need to know, have they actually started their business yet? If they have not, then build some processes. Build yourself a roadmap, or get somebody to help you build a roadmap. But get yourself a roadmap before you embark on this journey of owning your own business.
So let me play like a new business owner. What's a roadmap, Barbara? That's what they'll say. I know what it is.
How do I get from here?
A to B.
So you want to go to California and you've never been there? What do? You look a roadmap. You get directions.
So
you don't go east or west?
You're right. You get a map.
It's a roadmap.
Yeah. Or you get one of those GPS systems.
And, you know, SCORE is available for all kinds of advice for free. Yeah. And there's all kinds of information. You know, we have the internet now. You can, but at least what you believe to be correct, then at least get somebody to help you sort it out and start off with a map.
Because there's a lot to.
I have this idea. I want to start a business. What do I need? Do I need people? Do I need resources? Do I need money? Do I need a building?
Do I
can
need
I
licenses?
Do it from home?
Yeah.
There's a gazillion.
How do
questions.
I get clients or customers? It's on and on and on.
Now, if you just go out and buy a business,
yeah,
because you Ready decided made. You just want a business and you want to own your own business, so now you bought a business that you've don't know anything about. That's the other extreme, right?
That could be a problem.
People do that.
Yeah,
they buy a business because an attorney or CPA or professional person told them it was a really good business.
Yeah,
so they buy it with the retirement money.
And they should do a due diligence.
Okay, but let's say they hire people to do that.
Yeah.
So they've paid for all of this, and somebody comes up and says, this is a really good business because here's the bottom line. It's very successful business. So usually that's been motivated by money.
Yeah. Not blood, sweat, and tears.
And not the love of the product. It's motivated by money because the advice is, you want this return on your investment? Here you go. This is good.
That's a good point.
So how do you know if you're going to like the business? Maybe you should go work in that type of business for 6 months and see if you actually can like the business. But you buy it. These are not bad decisions. But so now you bought the business based on it's a good lucrative business, but you don't have a clue how it actually works day to day. That's right away you need to get processes. If you have not, it's going to take 2 or 3 years.
Which could be scary.
Yeah.
It can erode.
And it's stressful.
Yeah.
And it creates micromanagers.
Yeah, yeah.
It really does. The environment itself will create that. And it creates that there's no time to listen. You know, it's a lot of work. And it's a lot more work than your job that you just quit.
Yeah, I don't think people are naturally business people. You can learn stuff at school, some are. But what I've seen
some
is very few though really have a sense. They might have a skill,
and that's not a negative.
No, it's not.
That's not a negative to not know how to actually mind your own business or manage your own business. The sign that you need more detailed process or maybe a zero tolerance for certain behaviors, or you need to implement some kind of institutionalization of your processes
some standard
or
of
something
excellence.
In there is when you feel the business is managing you.
That's a good point. Yeah, that makes sense. And I think the best thing people can do is not to just think they know it all. But really team up, you know, hang around people like yourself, Barbara.
And you don't need to know it all.
Yeah, you really don't.
You don't need to know it at, you know, the one major thing that you want to know if you own a business, hire good people.
I totally agree.
Hire people who know more about that department than you do.
No question. That is great advice.
Because you have to get rid of the fear. You have to work together and everybody has to be fair, and there are good people out there. There's good people that will manage your departments, help you run your company, and everybody works well together.
And when we come back from our break, I'm going to ask Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business, how do you know when someone's a good person in terms of helping you out in your own business? What is that criteria? I think this is very important. Great tip, by the way. Hire good people. We want to know the criteria for that. And we will be right back after this break.
At Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birnbaum & Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed Metropolitan Opera baritone Dmitri Vorostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Breakthrough Thinking with Dave Isaac. This is Mind Your Own Business, starring Barbara Haggerty, right here in the studio live. And if you, you can meet Barbara. We are at 2800 North 44th Street. How about that?
Sweet yeah, come under. On. Come on down.
We got plenty of room in the green
come
room.
Come on down. Join
you
us on the show.
You can meet Tom, watch his ties. Now, when we ended, when we just went on the break, I talked about what's the criteria? How do you know when you have a good person? There's probably a lot of qualities that it takes to determine that. The biggest one for me would be, maybe the biggest one, integrity. You know, can you trust the person? Do they have integrity? I think that's really critical.
Well, that goes back to my first key word for micromanagement.
Trust.
Trust.
You're absolutely right. That's big.
If you don't trust, well, you know what? That's great that you asked that question, because I get up in the middle of the night sometimes and write stuff, and I wrote down something which I believe is probably part of your NLP. Mm-hmm. And you know I'm taking a course on that right now.
Yeah, excellent.
That we have three brains, our head, which is the one we're familiar with.
I have four brains.
You have four brains. Well, we know that. And we're not talking about the fourth, folks, today.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Okay.
By the way, do the listeners know that we're taking this on the road?
No.
They don't know that? Okay, am I speaking out of turn?
No.
Okay.
No, well, you could tell the listeners.
I can tell them.
We're going to do
this. Because I am putting you on a spot now.
No, I think it's good because we talked about that, and I'm excited to get this out to more people.
We're taking it on the road, so we will be in your area soon, and you can contact the show and speak to Tom, and he'll let you know
where we'll be,
what month we'll be in your area.
That's sort of cool.
Yeah.
It's like at a theater or drive-in area.
And you can come talk with us live.
That would even be
road.
Better.
Yeah.
Because we could answer questions right there on the spot.
Yeah, we will have, we'll definitely have question time.
That would be fun.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that.
So we have three brains. David Isaac has four, for all you people who care to know that.
Okay, I know someone with a half a brain. No, I do.
Now, we're not going to be negative about
people. Oh, yeah, you're right. I'm micro.
How can you be so judgmental?
I know.
I'm
writing it
down.
Three times. Don't be judgmental.
You are going to do the clearing method to get rid of that. I will guarantee the listeners that I'm going to take the judgment away from you.
Wait. Let's do it with an NLP technique.
Because you don't know if somebody has half a brain. Unless you scanned their brain or x-rayed it or something. You wouldn't know that.
You're right.
I never let you away with stuff like
that's
that.
That's true.
You know that.
Absolutely.
Okay, the head brain. It's the one we all know about, the one inside your head.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
What's the other one?
Come
on, it's a test question. Tom.
What's the other brain? He doesn't know.
He's not listening either. What is the matter with you guys? Are you drinking today or what?
Whiskey and what do you
okay.
call it?
Okay. All right. It's the gut. Your gut.
Oh, intuitiveness.
Your intuitive brain.
Oh, I love that.
Your
intuition.
Gut, your belly, your feeling.
Yeah.
Okay,
that's a good one.
This is what I feel. Your senses, like everything. Oh, I get a bad feeling in my stomach. Oh, no, the hair stood in the back of my neck. You know that. Okay, and then what's the other brain?
So we got the head
I'm
brain.
I'm glad I wrote this down because now I'm really testing
intuition.
You guys.
Intuition. So we got the head brain. We got
and
the
you're
intuition.
Looking up to the right, trying to access it.
Is it the mental brain?
It's the heart.
The heart. Oh, yes.
Emotions now. emotions.
I love that. Yes. So all three.
Okay, so now these are memories. We store memories.
Yeah.
So it's amazing how we just ad lib this and it falls together. The universe really works
it
on
does.
It.
It does.
It really does.
Yeah.
Because I don't give you any of this.
No, I show up and
I like to put you on the spot.
I love being put on the spot, actually, in front of millions of people.
But how do you hire good people? So when you're interviewing somebody and you just don't feel right, but their resume is perfect. Their
That's
background
intuition.
That they're talking about is perfect. They tell you they work for a similar company. They tell you all the stuff they did. They talk about it. They talk the talk. They appear to walk the walk. Everything on paper seems perfect, but you just have a feeling.
Okay, and that happens.
Okay, so there's one.
So that's one criteria.
That's like the three brains working together.
And you got to utilize all three.
And so now you should have... well, there's the whole hiring process that we spent a whole show on, I'm sure, in the
like
archives.
Like references, right?
Yeah, so there's a whole complete hiring process, but you're asking me
criteria,
and I believe that when you follow your hiring process, and if you don't have one, write one. Follow your hiring process. Have somebody else in your company interview that person.
Yeah.
Maybe give them a trial period. Let them work for you for a couple of weeks.
That's a good
idea,
too.
Like you say, check the integrity. Now, a lot of this comes from your heart and your gut as well as what you see in your head. Like, you know, everything that you have and I have and everything we... This tells me people can write. It tells me people can read. But it doesn't tell me they can actually do the job.
Perform.
It doesn't tell me that. It tells me you can read. If you can quote everything to me, you can quote theory, but tell me how you do it. Come in here one day and walk step by step by step. Let me see that, because that's what I do.
See, that's
a
good...
I walk it.
That's a good one. I think that's good criteria
So if you want to... So you want to talk about experiences that person has had in another job. You want to put them in a situation with your customer. You want references. So, yes, you want integrity. You want absolute, you have to have trust. If you do not trust your employees, then you need to allow them to go. You need to let them go, because there's another compatible employment out there where they will be trusted. So if you don't, it's like a relationship between two people. If it's not working, let it go. But, you know, people should, but we need to be free. So in order to not micromanage your business, in order for employees not to feel threatened, mistrusted, to feel degraded, to feel they don't have what it takes to please you, and now the whole behavior thing becomes dysfunctional, because you increase your micromanagement and they decrease their confidence, so it becomes really dysfunctional.
You know, I think also the quality of questions help. I know I was interviewing some people five, 6 months ago. And it was more of in the CPA environment. But I would ask questions like, what would you do in this situation?
Mm-hmm.
They'd have to
get
think
their
about
experience,
it.
Yeah.
Or what's the most important thing about partnership tax returns? And I get a lot of blank looks. It's like, uh-oh. Right? I mean, that showed they had no clue.
Right.
Didn't mean they wouldn't be a great employee at some point.
And what about the culture of your business?
Yeah.
Like, do they understand it?
Why That's a very good
point. Why is my headset squeaking like this?
Really? Is it squeaking, Tom?
Yeah, I'm having a heart.
Oh, no, it sounds good.
It's squeaking.
I think
thought
that's
it was
a
your
good
chair, but it's my headset.
Oh, yeah, I thought it might be my head. But culture of your business is very important. Do they understand the dynamics?
What's your mission statements? What's your own code of ethics that you use in your business? So talk to that person. Let's have a discussion about it. And listen. Listen with your heart. Listen with your gut as well as with your head. But whatever you do, listen.
And try not, really try to get out of any fear that you have, because if fear is a filter, you know, you're going to really hear things very clearly if you have a lot of fear. You're filled with fear. What type of decisions do you make when you're under or within fear? That's a tough one, right?
And what about in the next hour? He's waving at us?
No, that's the 5-minute signal.
So I think in the next hour we're going to talk about that. How do we filter that fear?
That's
if
important.
If I come up against a situation where I'm fearful,
yeah.
How do I? This is a practical question. Can we walk through it step by step? Because you're more a theory guy and I'm more practical, so that's why we.
Oh, thanks a lot, Tom. Saying, wait a minute.
We are. Come on, we are.
Are we? Let's have a vote, Tom.
Let's have a vote. Tom?
Looks like he's voting
absolutely.
For you. That's what it sounds
absolutely
like.
Absolutely, he is.
All right. Tom, you can go home. Okay.
He's more theory.
Oh,
he can write about it, talk about it. He's a theory guy.
I'm theory.
How often do you...
I'm a little bit theory, you're a little bit rock and roll.
How often do you make the rubber hit the road?
Oh, many times.
Many times. Okay, so let's do it in this. So now let's take a situation where we're fearful.
Yeah,
And we want to filter that. Because we have a very important interview coming up with a key employee we're going to hire.
Really?
Yeah, and we're fearful.
Oh, that's the example you're giving.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Can we handle that?
I totally agree. I think...
If we can't handle it, folks, we'll come back next month.
Yeah, that's right. Well, there's no doubt. I think because of the economy, too, I think people are stuck in fear. They don't know how to get themselves out of fear.
Yeah, I think we'll because that's a really important thing. And we'll, you know, here's a key for your time as a micromanager, if you are one. And you may not know that you're one.
That's true.
You may not know, but hopefully there's enough information here that maybe you can question yourself. How about focusing on growth for your business and security for your business? I mean, I don't personally believe in a bad economy. I just personally don't live in that world. My own economy is the way it is.
Yeah.
We all create our own environment, but we're probably not. That's not that type of show.
It is and it isn't. Yeah,
but,
I think it does.
But that's my whole belief system. But I do believe that as an owner, to mind your own business. Minding meaning looking after. For David minds his own business with me in other areas, but for business owners. To mind your own business, focus on securing your business.
Right.
Manage your balance sheet. Focus on growth. And the rest is okay. Don't fret about the little stuff. What is that book? Don't sweat the small stuff.
Yeah, that was a good book.
Yeah,
though.
Don't sweat the small stuff. And let your managers take care of getting the detail done in those areas. And you focus on that and your business will stay healthy. And you will stay healthy, which is a key. If you're not healthy, how are you going to enjoy your business? You know, you need to relax. My tagline used to be relax and enjoy your business.
And that makes sense. And really, from an NLP perspective that we'll get into in just a few minutes is internal, is that don't look to change things outside. Look to change you first. And I really believe in that. And we're going to talk a little bit more about that. How do you change yourself? Because that's going to be the key. Then you don't have to rely on the doom and gloom of the economy. You can then take control of yourself, your interpretation, your skill sets, your beliefs, change the disempowering beliefs to empowering beliefs. There's a lot of things you can do because, after all, beliefs will direct your behaviors as well as values. And let's see.
We're going to inject NLP techniques on top of everything that I've talked about. I believe that's what we're doing in this
absolutely.
Next segment.
And that's the next up on what we're going to do. So I think this is going to be very important. And I think people, it's foreign to people, but it does exist. Some of the greatest companies know about this. And we're going to talk a little bit about NLP and minding your own business, a unique combination of process and integrating mindset, because after all, I think people logically understand that they just don't know how to do it. We'll be right back.
This is Arizona Station, 1010 KXXT, Tolleson, Phoenix.
Hello, this is Michael Dixon. Internationally acclaimed metropolitan opera baritone Dmitri Varostovsky will perform a one-time-only opera gala concert with the Phoenix Opera Orchestra and Chorus Tuesday, January 10th at the Orpheum Theater. We've seen the sensational singer in the Met's live HD broadcasts. Now hear him live in concert January 10th. It'll be the musical event of the season. Get tickets now at the Orpheum box office and at phoenixopera.org.
Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Reidenauer, Heighton & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
How healthy is your business? Is your business plan helping your bottom line? Do you even have a business plan? Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business has over 25 years of helping businesses of all kinds and sizes to get them where their owners want them to go. She uses her special wellness check process. It's to assess where your business is now, and then uses her own unique 7 steps business excellence plan to expand and grow your business into something to be proud of. Barbara will take a holistic or a global appreciation view of your company, and that's absolutely going to make a difference to your bottom line. So call now and schedule a wellness check and watch your business grow. 602-750-4518. That's Barbara Haggerty of Mind Your Own Business. 602-750-4518.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to